for us today and very much for us as we move forward as a body. There's been many things happening. God is increasing and growing. I'm all about increase. What about you? Yes. Increase us, Lord. And so as we read these two scriptures in Joshua today, they're very amazing because they have already been on one side. The absolute miracle of God to stop the water here and stop it here, and the priests go into the middle of the Jordan River. It's a mile wide at that point, flood stage, typically very small river, 100 feet wide. It's a mile wide at the stage where God leads them through. God never leads us when it seems normal. It seems odd. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our ways. His methods are not what we would do. His ways are much higher. His thoughts are much higher. So we have to align our ways and align our thinking and align our thoughts with God. The more we align our thoughts and our ways with God, the more our heart is transformed and we speak out of the heart the ways of God. If we're not speaking the ways of God, we need to learn to be quiet, because you've heard me say this, I'll continue to say this, this is so important. Our tongue has the power of life and death. And so God now was going to teach them a whole new way, the nation of Israel. They were moving into something that was absolutely brand new. Before, he had led them by the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. Scripture doesn't really tell us when that exactly stopped, but it stopped. He fed them on a daily basis by manna coming down from heaven, bread, only daily. It was their portion. On the sixth day, they would gather enough for the sixth and the seventh day in honor the seventh day of the Sabbath. If you think the Sabbath is Sunday, you're wrong. The Sabbath is Friday night at sundown till Saturday at sundown. Okay? That is the Sabbath in Scripture. Who is our Sabbath today? Personally, I believe that Jesus is my Sabbath. He's our Sabbath. What does that mean? I rest in the finished work of Christ. From my labor to try and achieve something that I could never achieve, which is salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. You simply receive it. And by the way, everything else in the kingdom is free. You let that sink in for a little bit. The kingdom of God is for his people, and everything is by faith, and then we receive it by faith. To access it, we access it by faith. Can you put the scripture up? Joshua chapter 5. Here we go. Verse 10. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. This is very powerful. Remember, they've crossed over. Unleavened bread and roasted grain. I'll explain what's going on there in a moment. Verse 12, look at here. The manna stopped. The day after, they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. Let me explain a couple things that are going on. On the 14th day, it was the 14th day, I talked about this a few Sundays ago, of the first month, or the 10th day they crossed over of the first month. Go back to Exodus, that was the exact time that God had told them to celebrate what was called Passover. They were to take a lamb into their home, a one-year-old perfect lamb. They were to keep that lamb for a few days. The family would get to know it. And on the 14th day, it would be sacrificed. The blood would be shed, and they would eat the Passover on the 14th day. It's vital that we see this in Scripture. Do you know that God has perfect timing? He has a perfect time for us to do things and to move forward. And they celebrated Passover. They ate unleavened bread, bread made without yeast. Yeast was the representation of sin. And so they would celebrate for 7 days. 7 days, that feast. Very interesting. Who's our Passover lamb today? See, we don't take a lamb into our home now. But who is our Passover lamb? If you're here and you're going, well, what does that all mean to me today? Our Passover lamb today is Jesus Christ. Shed his blood on a cross. Passover. Went to a tomb. Spent 3 days and three nights, and this is scriptural, in hell, Hades. Was raised from the dead. Raised from the dead by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what, folks? If you've received Christ, the same Spirit that has raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I. That is an amazing thought. The Spirit of the living God that raised Christ from that tomb lives in you and I. So they celebrated Passover. This was foreshadowing the coming of Christ and what Christ would do. But something else is going on here, and it says that they ate the produce of the land. Number one, why was God taking them into a new land? Why would God be leading us as a church into increase, into growth? Growth is not for us. We should grow spiritually. We should walk in physical healing. We should be growing in the Word. We should be believing in increase financially and all of those things. But why would God do that? Why is God leading them into another land? A land that was promised to them 40 years ago, but because of unbelief and fear, they had to spend 40 years in the desert. The other thing is, in that land, the 40 years, they went from miracle to miracle to miracle. Do you know that God, that means crisis to crisis to crisis. How many of you want to live in crisis to crisis to crisis? Or how many of you would rather live under the blessing of God? Yeah. They were moving now from that into the blessing. The blessing of Almighty God. God is a blesser. God wants to bless in all ways. And if you've heard anything different about God, you haven't heard right. We're here to proclaim the good news. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our God is a great God, and he's a good God. He's a wonderful God. So they ate now some of the produce of the land. Turn with me to, do we have Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy. Where are we here? Whatever's on your list there. Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 12. I think we're going to have it here. Why did they eat some of the produce of the land? It was a fulfillment of God's promise. Number one, the fulfillment of the promise to go into the land, or that was going into the land, was a fulfillment of the promise. Number two, this is a fulfillment of them eating produce. Watch this. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. Next verse. Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. Wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Here's what God was saying. When you cross over and you go into that land, I'm going to provide for you in a totally different way than one day or once a day, the manna coming down from heaven, by the way, which is bread, and Jesus is now our manna who came down from heaven, and we feed on him every day. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that's the word of God. You got to be in the word. Amen? Got to be feeding yourself with the word. But he says something so powerful. This is a fulfillment of this. This is going from miracles, manna, to blessing, the blessing of God. Going from, I'm going to give you things that you never worked for. They ate this beautiful produce. Hear this. In the midst of their enemies. Why? Because God caused their enemies, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, their hearts to melt with fear. I cannot understand why the church world, who has all the authority they can be given, which is through the blood, the name, and the word, which is in Christ, I don't understand why people are afraid of a defeated foe called Satan. A few of you will get that. Ponder that. All authority has been given to the church to take the kingdom of God throughout the world. Wow. The authority that Christ used has been now given to us. Our enemy has been defeated. You read later on Colossians chapter 2 and tell me if that's not the truth. He's been defeated. God calls the enemies of Israel, their hearts to melt. In fact, in one place in Deuteronomy, he says, your enemy is going to come at you at one way. I will cause them to flee in seven ways. What enemy is attacking you today? And why are you putting up with it? Why put up with it? Stand in the name of Jesus Christ and speak the word of the Lord to a defeated enemy. The enemy has been defeated in our lives, totally taken care of at the cross and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is an absolute picture of what God is doing. Do I have Isaiah 9, 6 there? And 7? Thank you. Why would God take our church into a new place? Why would God be moving us into the greater things of the Lord? First of all, a fulfillment of a promise to us. Secondly, to have influence, impact, and increase. Influence where? Influence in the city. Impacting the city. Increasing those that come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. More love going out to the city. More care going out to the city. More declaration of God over the city of Medicine Hat. It's for influence, impact, and increase. You write that down for your life. Influence, impact, and increase. I share often that when I come in here on during the weekdays, I walk through here and I say, God, we are increasing. God, we're increasing. God, I am a person of increase. You say, do you actually say that? Sure do. You should say it too. We are people that are increasing and God is giving us more influence in the city. Come on, say amen. This whole River Valley needs this body of people. We were called here to impact this area of the city. And through the grace of God, we will do it. By the anointing of God, we will do it. And by the power of God, we will do it. We will increase, we will impact, and we will influence. That is the reason why. And watch this. We read this scripture only, we should be reading it all the time, but we love this scripture at Christmas, but no, watch this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That in itself is powerful. I think right there that's talking the millennium, where the government, we are going to reign and rule with Christ. Amen. Government will be on his shoulders. Who's his shoulders? I believe it's the church, but anyway, that's a whole other message. He will be called, this is Christ, he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Watch this next verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, There will be no end, oh my goodness, what did that just say? Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, a lot of people say, well, Pastor, that's during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you something. We're working in an age right now. It's called the age of grace. It's the church age. And guess what? We are to increase and increase and increase and increase because God is all about salvation. He's about the spreading of his kingdom in this world. He's about the spreading of the gospel in this world now. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. Let's go to Psalm 23 in your Bible. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. They cross over. They eat this incredible harvest of the land. Wherever God is leading you in your life, he's leading you to fresh supply. Write that down. When God leads us and we let go of one thing and he leads us to another, he is leading us into fresh supply, fresh provision, abundant provision, abundance. God is a God of abundance. God is not a cheapskate. You can say amen to that. He's an abundant God. Why would this God give us his son? He lavished. Larry, you and I were talking about that word. That just came to me this week. He lavished every good thing on us. Everything. God is a God of blessing. Listen, folks, the greatest blessing is our salvation. Well, I'm glad three of you agree. That might have been four. I said, the greatest blessing is our salvation. Wow. Darkness to light. Wow. Now watch this. They cross over. They're in quote-unquote so-called enemy territory. It's really not, because it was promised to them. Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Do you know what that means? Well, it means I shouldn't want anything. Doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. I shall not be in want. The body is to have an overflow of abundance. Why? So we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we can do the things we've got to do. Abundance is to spread the gospel. I don't understand why people don't want to listen to messages on prosperity and abundance. Read your Bible. The people of God were a blessed people. It was when they walked away from God when they came out from under the blessing. All right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It is important to rest, folks. It's important to lie down. It's important to take a break. And it's important to sit by quiet waters. Next verse. He restores my soul. God is the God of restoration. He guides me in paths of what? Righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because Jesus Christ became sin for us. Didn't sin. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So he's leading us in righteousness. For whose sake? His. Isaiah said it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to give his son. How can we understand such love except that we receive it by faith? You're here, people are here today. The Holy Spirit, I sense in my heart, is so at work right now. and you've not, you might be a believer, but you've not understood this or received it. You need to receive it. That God is such a good God. And for his name's sake, he's leading you, your family, and us in paths of righteousness. He's leading us as a church. Next verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what I love about this scripture? There's a tempo to it. We're not stuck in the valley, but we're walking through it. Amen. We're not stuck in the valley, folks. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He says, I will fear no evil. Fear is not a part of our language. Fear is what kept them out of the promised land and unbelief. It's not a part of our language. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. For you are with me. God is with us on this journey as a church. God is with us as we impact the city. God is with us as he gives us greater level of influence. God is with us as he increases us because he's the only one that can increase us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. Right? He's with us. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next verse. This is amazing. They cross over. They celebrate Passover. They eat unleavened bread, one of the feasts. And they eat produce of the land. Watch this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They were eating at a banquet table in the presence of their enemies. And their enemies were terrified. You got to understand something. You got to see this through scripture, folks. You got to see who you are in Christ. Do you know that any demonic force that's trying to come against this church or trying to come against your life, if you're in Christ, do you know that they're actually terrified of you? Terrified. You know why? Because the Father has prepared a banquet table in the presence of your enemies. Wow. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Why would we be afraid? Not here, folks. No. We are a people of faith. Amen? We're a people of faith. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The table had been set long before by the promises of God for Israel. The table has been set for you. The table has been set for me. The table has been set for your family. The table has been set for this church. And we're going to go right into increase, impact, and influence. And I'll tell you what, oh, things are going to be different. And we're going to stand back and we're going to proclaim, this is to the glory of God the Father. That's what it's about. This is to God. Impact, influence, increase, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I should look at my notes at some point. Praise God. Let's read this. I don't think I gave you Colossians chapter 2. If you can get that, let's go. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Now, some of you are struggling with where God's leading you. And I think some of you, in a personal way, are you're at the river, and you're wondering if you should cross over. But God is leading you, number one. Number two, we've said this before, you've got to let go of some things before you can cross over. Can't carry everything with you. Pastor Larry preached on that a while back. Can't carry everything. Got to leave some things behind. But some of you are walking in fear of source and supply, meaning that if I leave one thing, where's my supply? Your supply has always been with God, number one. Number two, God isn't shocked when you move. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. God isn't shocked. He's the one that's leading us. So it's not like, oh my goodness, Jesus, he's talking to Jesus at the right hand. They're moving again. What are we going to do to supply their needs? Do you know that God has already set up a source of supply for you? And it comes when you move. It comes when you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. It comes when you trust God. Now, you need to live under kingdom truths and kingdom laws when it comes to supply. And we're going to get into that in March. And that is seed time and harvest. You've got to understand something. But when God leads you, he's already got the source supplied. You look at the life of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. No rain in the land for 3 years. God had told him to speak that. At one point, the brook dried up. But God had said, go over here. I have ravens who will feed you. The brook had to dry up, or Elijah would have stayed there. Sometimes things dry up in our lives. And we need to know, is this the enemy doing this, or is this God? Sometimes God is shrinking something so we can go into the land of increase that is greater and bigger. And you need to discern that. If the brook wouldn't have dried up, he heard the word of the Lord, the ravens will feed you. After the ravens fed him, he said, now go to Zarephath. I have a widow in Zarephath who was not of the nation of Israel. And she gave everything she had to feed him. Now you think about how that had to go through his mind. A widow, God, I'm supposed to help widows. And God said, you go here and a widow will look after your supply. But when she did, abundance came into her life. God has supply. And as a church, I'm going to say this. We're going to move forward. And when churches move forward, or they get into renos, and they get into building, or they get into giving greater amounts to missions, the first thing that often comes out of people's mouth is, where are we going to get the money? You all know it's true. You got real quiet there. That is not our concern. When God says move, the supply is there. And provision follows vision. Write that down. Provision follows vision. When we move, supply is always there. God's grace is always there. And by the way, the greatest supply God can ever give a church is people. Amen. People. Oh, yes, they're the greatest resource. Yeah, give yourself a hand. It's okay. Come on. It's people. It's people who come to Christ. It's you who are growing in Christ. You who obey the word of the Lord. But sometimes things have to dry up. They could not stay on the other side. And I don't know if the manna would have dried up. I have a feeling it would have if they wouldn't have moved. I just kind of have that feeling. But you see, the minute we trust God and eat of a new supply, the other one's gone and we live under the blessing of God. It's very powerful. Colossians. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, that goes back to Pastor Larry's message, the new covenant, the circumcision of the heart. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Next verse. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Folks, Satan has been defeated. Yeah. when we go forward in unity as a church, when we hear the voice of the Lord, we say, these are the small steps we're going to take. God is with us. When you go into a new land, maybe that's a job, I don't know. Maybe that's a change in your life, I don't know. Maybe it's a newness, something different, but you sense the Holy Spirit is leading you. You got to know that the Spirit's leading you. How do you know? By the word, prayer, counsel, right? Good counsel, wisdom. I'm going to be honest with you. You want to let go of the old because the new is way better. It's way better. It's the freshness of God. It's everything He's got for us. It's a great land. It's the blessing of God. And I was called down here to pastor this church 11 years ago. Pastor Larry, I think 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. And then the beautiful coming together of two beautiful bodies that have now become one. I just love the fact that we're ticking off Satan. Yeah, I really do. People say, can you dare say that? I say it with the precious authority, not me, Jesus in me, the blood and the word of God. We are not about church maintenance. We are about coming under the spirit of increase for the days that we are in, so we can have impact, we can have influence, and we increase in every way. Stand to your feet, please. Where's that wonderful piano player? There she is. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Maybe you're here today and you're on the brink of moving into something new, or you sense that God is moving you. We're here as a church body. If you're visiting with us, we pray that you sense the love of God here. Janae, that the second last song in the second package, thank you. All who are thirsty? Yeah. We love you, and more than that, boy, God sure loves you. So we're in great days, church. Come on. We're in great days. And maybe you don't feel like that, but we don't go by our feeling. We go by faith. There's a whole new land. There's a whole new land. It's a land of abundance, a land of goodness, where God supplies all that we need and more. And abundance and overflow is so we just keep shoveling it into the kingdom of God to grow the kingdom in this city. So we're going to talk about coming into the kingdom, every head bowed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, there's a different kingdom than this world. And the way you come into the kingdom is simply by faith in the finished work of Christ. It's repenting, understanding, yep, I violated God's holiness. But you know what? By grace, I'm going to put my faith in His grace, and I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Every head bowed, we always do this. If you're here and you want to receive Christ, lift your head, please. Or lift your hand. Lift a hand. Lift a hand. Is there anyone here today say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ today? Just wait until I acknowledge you. Okay. Anyone here and you feel like the Lord is moving you across, like I've talked this morning, into a new land, and there's some things going on, and you're wondering about supply and how God's going to supply your need? It's okay. Lift your hands, okay? You're there. Lift your hand. Yeah, lots. All right. you need to follow God's ways of doing things. Trust, have faith in Him. Trust God with your finances. Let go of fear. Operate in faith. And God will lead you there. All right? He will take you into a better place. And last but not least, as a corporate body, we're moving forward. Amen? We're going forward. We're moving. Things will look different. Things will change. There was a whole new system when they got into the promised land. They weren't led the way they were led. We're led now by the Spirit. All right? It was different. But it produced greater results. And so we believe as a church God is leading us. We believe that greater days, we're in the days of increase. Come on, everybody, say increase. I want to increase. I hope you want to increase in every way. All right, lift your hands for the blessing. Father, thank you for this absolutely beautiful, beautiful group of people called the church. Bless and strengthen them in every way. Increase them in faith, in anointing, in blessing. Father God, I pray they're generous with their words, with their love, with their kindness, with their finances, in everything, God. Strengthen them all and strengthen us together as River Valley Community Church as we impact and influence this area and the city of Medicine Hat in Jesus' name. And we all said amen. Amen. I want to mention something before you leave about our city. There's a great article, and you have to Google it. So you Google New York Times, Medicine Hat. The New York Times has just done an article, an amazing article on the city of Medicine Hat. When I read it, I went, this is the blessing of God on our city. This is the blessing of God. God, you're blessing our city. And I don't know about you, I pray and I know our city is blessed. Amen. And the church is blessed. So if you get 10 minutes, Google New York Times, Medicine Hat, an amazing article about our mayor and things like that. And I'm telling you what, folks, I'm about the blessing of God. Amen. So as you leave today, encourage each other this wonderful Family Day weekend and bless someone with your words and have a great week in Christ.